Real general practice will be helping with your clinical assessment. The diagnosis may be just around the corner if you look. Agenda setting is the key to a successful consultation. But listen now, cause you won't read this in a book. A little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free. Let's hear it for our GP. A way of looking inside holistically. Bring out the changes with our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.
Getting ready for the CSA exam. The Royal College of General Practitioners Clinical Skills Assessment, the CSA, is an assessment of a doctor's ability to integrate and apply appropriate clinical, professional, communication and practical skills in general practice. This publication aims to give you guidance on how you might prepare for the exam. We will immerse you in typical cases, cases like those that you could expect to find in the clinical skills assessment. In the role play scenario group of recordings, with the three persons icon, we provide you with the information that both the candidate doctor and the role-playing patient would have. This will enable you to practice the examples by role-play. We'll also provide an example script of the doctor's dialogue for each case. By giving an example of the language and phrases that can be used by the doctor for each scenario, we show you how a case can be done well. Of course, there are many different but equally good ways of approaching cases. Our dialogue is just one example of how to approach each case. This guide aims to give you a step-by-step example of how a case could be approached successfully. We know that many candidates can struggle, particularly under pressure, to find effective words and phrases. Many of the candidates that we have coached are international medical graduates. These candidates, in particular, benefit hugely from an initial vocabulary of stock phrases. These phrases act as a springboard from which confidence and competence will blossom. I speak from personal experience in writing this. During a 2-year stint doing voluntary services overseas in Tanzania, my own early consultations in Kiswahili consisted largely of stock phrases taught to me by patient tutors. We make no apology to the Royal College of General Practitioners for potentially colouring their exam rooms with these phrases. We aim to allow candidates to communicate effectively with patients. We would discourage an overly formulaic approach. When done well, your consultations should feel like a natural conversation, but you will always be conscious that it is structured and time limited. Doing 13 directly observed 10-minute consultations consecutively with role players and doing them well is a daunting prospect for most prospective candidates. The key to success lies in preparation. Benjamin Franklin had it right. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. All of my registrars practiced 10-minute consultations in role play and with real patients as much as possible before the assessment. Having a trainer who encourages you to do tandem or shared surgeries is perfect preparation. A key catalyst to progressing your skills is the ability to model your own growing skills on somebody who knows what they are doing. Call it an apprenticeship if you like. Provided that you practice well in advance of the exam, in the way that we show you, success can be almost guaranteed. Having said that, some of the best doctors that I've worked with did not pass their CSA exam on the first occasion. Some excellent doctors have needed multiple attempts at the exam. What has made them excellent doctors is a determination to succeed and the willingness to accept constructive feedback. I read only today that the British adventurer Bear Grylls feels that the rewards in life go to the dogged and the determined, to the tenacious, those who get back on their feet when they get kicked. The best GPs never stop learning or trying to improve. So what does the CSA exam involve? The clinical skills assessment is held at the Royal College of General Practitioners headquarters in Euston Square in London. It involves doing 13 10-minute consultations with patients who are trained role players. You will have a 2-minute gap before each patient arrives to read information from an iPad about the next patient. Each role player will enter the room with an examiner following them. After 10 minutes, a bell will ring. Both the role player and the examiner will leave the room, and there will be a 2-minute gap until the next role player and examiner enter the room. Usually, halfway through the exam, there will be a short comfort break. The candidate stays in the same consulting room while the role players and examiners move around. Cases are designed to reflect typical cases seen in UK general practice. The clinical skills assessment is a test of your all-round consultation skills. Your knowledge was tested in the AKT exam, and so a reasonable baseline of knowledge is assumed. The CSA exam is more a test of your consulting skills and your ability to engage with patients as individuals. As in real life, the role-playing patient will be primed with their own health beliefs, social circumstances, core values, ideas, concerns, and expectations. Take all these factors into account and adapt your consulting style to suit each individual patient. Then develop a shared management plan incorporating these factors. That's all that's required in order to score well in the CSA. That being said, you will lose some marks for not being up to date in the guidance that you give to your patients. Our publication aims to give you plenty of the up-to-date knowledge that busy GPs use in their daily consultations. To be an effective GP, you will need to have a good working knowledge. In the CSA exam, you are inevitably compared with your colleagues. Don't get left behind. Courses such as Red Whale, which is GP Update, and Hot Topics will keep you up to date with the guidance that helps us to do the day job. Practical general practice can remind you of the nitty-gritty. You are marked in three areas for each case. The first is data gathering, technical and assessment skills. Gather and use data and clinical judgment. Choose what to examine, what investigations are needed, and how to interpret them. Demonstrate proficiency in performing physical examinations and in the use of diagnostic and therapeutic instruments. Number two, clinical management skills. Recognize and manage common primary care medical conditions. Demonstrate a structured and flexible approach to decision making. Demonstrate the ability to deal with multiple complaints and comorbidity. Demonstrate the ability to promote a positive approach to health. And number three, interpersonal skills. Demonstrate the use of recognized communication techniques to gain understanding of the patient's illness experience. Develop a shared approach to managing problems. Practice ethically with respect to equality and diversity issues in line with the accepted codes of professional conduct. The grades for each component will be on a 4-point scale. Clear pass, pass, fail, and clear fail, with 3, 2, 1, and 0 points respectively awarded for each component. Since there are three components, the maximum that each examiner could award you would be 9. So a total of 13 times 9 is equal to 117. So that's the theoretical maximum for the whole assessment. So how should you prepare? Form a clinical skills assessment group with a small group of your peers and meet regularly to practice 10-minute consultations. Ideally, you need at least 3 in the group to play the parts of the doctor, the patient, and the examiner. Please take a look at the Bradford VTS website. There are good case examples and videos, but be prepared to write your own scenarios. Perhaps you would like to see how others would tackle the presentation that one of your patients has challenged you with. Take the time to turn it into a scenario for your group. Videos and cases are available in many formats. One recommended source is How to Pass the CSA Exam for GP Trainees and MRC GP CSA Candidates, published by Wiley. Of course, our own publication aims to help you deal effectively with real patients and CSA scenarios alike. Encourage your trainer and other CSA-aware GPs to do joint or tandem surgeries with you. video your surgeries and ask your trainer to analyse your consultations with you. The spoken word is different from the written word. The choice of words we use matter, but we all use communication with intonation, body language, and facial expression. These tools have a large effect on how others interpret the meaning of your words. In your shared surgeries, video reviews, and CSA groups, experiment with these tools of communication. Get used to talking about medical concerns in jargon-free language. Tailor your advice according to your patient's ideas, concerns, and expectations. Inside Health is a BBC Radio 4 broadcast that I recommend to you. It is jargon-free and addresses topical health issues that affect the care that we provide. There's a wealth of back episodes available as podcasts. Mark Porter and Margaret McCartney, this show's presenters, may even start to compete with Chris Evans for your affections as you drive into work. Take the opportunity to keep up to date and to hear the sort of language that can be used to share information with your patients. Two Docs Talk is a helpful, upbeat podcast that will provide you with some up-to-date medical chat that can improve your knowledge base. Most of it is relevant to your GP work despite its American origins. And for those of you who have a bit more time to listen to podcasts, consider listening to the best science podcasts. Two good-humoured Canadian experts wax lyrical about the evidence, or lack of it, for what we do in primary care. There are more than 300 podcasts in the back archive. Perhaps you might want to start with the most recent broadcasts. Ensure that you are familiar with the contents of the GP curriculum. The Bradford VTS.co.uk website online resources do this really well. It's well worth a cruise. So on the day of the exam, make sure you don't have too far to travel on the day. If you live outside of London, get there the day before. It's strongly advisable not to drive in London. Driving and parking in London is usually highly stressful as well as very expensive. Make sure that you have all of the identification documents and equipment that the Royal College of General Practitioners instruct you to take. You should bring your doctor's bag containing the usual diagnostic equipment with you, including BNF, BNF for children, stethoscope, ophthalmoscope, oroscope, thermometer, patella hammer, tape measure, peak flow meter, and disposable mouthpieces. Please note that these must be the EU standard peak flow meters. Please note there's no need to bring your sphygmomanometer. Be smart, but comfortable, and stay calm. So how should you use the cases in this publication? Our experience is that GP registrars gain considerable benefit from joining CSA groups early in their training. The main tool of these groups is role-playing the sort of cases that might present in the CSA exam. This publication will allow group members to immerse themselves in the roles of patient, doctor, and examiner. Each role affords you to develop towards a more competent consultation style. Junior GP registrars usually prefer to play the part of the patient, at least on the first occasion. I find it helpful to have a mix of learners, including UK graduates and overseas graduates. They bring different and useful experiences to the group. They broaden the group's depth of knowledge and communication skills. Each role play group should include at least one senior GP registrar. Groups of three or four usually work the best. One person would be the candidate or actor, having listened to and read the whole role beforehand. Another, the candidate stroke doctor, and a third, and possibly a fourth, the observer stroke examiner. Whenever possible, please try to enlist the help of a successful CSA graduate or a GP trainer to join your group. Deaneries may well consider funding their time. Alternatively, this sort of work could be integrated into your timetable of training program studies. My local trainers group have joined forces to put on mock CSA exams. This gives candidates an opportunity to rehearse their exam technique. We devote a day to preparing candidates for the exam. One session is usually spent doing small group work with trainers. The other session is a mock exam circuit, a day well spent. Junior GP registrars make great actor stroke patients. If each actor patient rotates around the consulting rooms, this creates consistency and the junior GP registrar becomes an expert patient. This can lead to cross-pollination and the expert patient can give useful feedback and propagates tips amongst the candidates. We encourage you to use the LeJog version of the map of the consultation. This will allow you to organise your consultations. For each case, we will give you an example of a script of the words that the doctor might use. The script will be organised according to the headings from the map. Please note that the order is not slavish. It's often dictated by the flow of the patient's answers and your own instincts to make the consultation feel like an organised, friendly chat. Here are the headings that we will be using for the GP's scripts. This has been adapted from Chris Marr's map of the consultation. Number 1, patient contribution. Number 2, ideas, concerns and expectations. Number 3, psychosocial and occupational history. Number 4, red flags. Number 5, focused history. Number 6, focused examination. Number 7, identify problem and explain diagnosis. Number 8, check understanding. Number 9, develops management plan and shares management plan. Number 10, safety net and follow-up. We have created an innovative, coloured map of the consultation that includes these 10 vital landmarks of the GP consultation. Imagine that you're travelling from Land's End to John O'Groats in the United Kingdom. You will usually visit each of the landmarks starting from Landmark 1, where you facilitate the patient to give their contribution, and you end with Landmark 10, where you provide a safety net and negotiate a follow-up plan. But you may, at certain stages in the consultation, make side trips back and forth between the landmarks. You can allow your conversation to flow naturally through areas 2, 3, 4 and 5, as long as you know where you're going. Signposting to the patient, perhaps with Malcolm Thomas's Uber signpost, can keep you both organised and improves patient satisfaction and exam scores.
Let's hear it for our GP, a way of looking inside holistically. Bring out the changes with our GP, skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.